You're sitting in the living room, watching TV, when you notice the temperature suddenly drop. You go into the kitchen to turn the heating up, when a cup on the worktop starts to shake. It suddenly lifts up and flies across the kitchen, smashing into the wall. You run back into the living room, terrified. Then you hear somebody walking down the hallway. You go to investigate, but there's no one there. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. In this episode, I'll be covering a poltergeist case that lasted for around 10 years. For some reason, it never had the publicity like the Enfield haunting. Yet much more paranormal activity was recorded, and respected paranormal investigators were involved in most of the 10-year period. Woodrow is a housing estate in Redditch, Worcestershire, that was built in the 1960s as part of the Redditch Development Corporation's bid to help rehouse around 33,000 of the overcrowded population from over the West Midlands, mainly Birmingham. The land where the estate was built was originally farmland, with many farms surrounding the area, including Shakespeare Farm, where Tudor Grange Academy now stands, and Ipsley Woodrow Farm, which later became Woodrow Farm, where the estate gained its name. Some of the roads in Woodrow, such as Bushley Close and Cropthorne, are all that remains of the old Woodrow Farm Lane, which started at the Studley Road junction where Woodrow Centre is today. In 1968, Woodrow's first occupants moved in. Many of the people offered houses were young families. Between 1969 and 1970, Astley Close was completed, and people started to move in. Astley Close was built on the old Ipsley Meadows, which would have been used as farmland. Within the first few years, the residents of Astley Close started to experience strange phenomena, which none of them could explain. They would hear whispering in the houses when no one was around, shadows walking around, and objects moving. In some cases, things were thrown or they would disappear. These strange events were happening in nearly every house in Astley Close. Some people were terrified to stay at home alone. When the children were at school and their partners were at work, people would arrange to visit other neighbours so that they weren't alone and felt safer. Eventually, the Society for Psychical Research, the SPR, were called out to carry out an investigation. They held many vigils in the houses and set up recording equipment, where they picked up whispering, the sound of footsteps, creaks, bangs, and in one case, the sound of something being dragged, all when the houses were empty. During one vigil, one of the team was so terrified that they ran out of the house and refused to go back in. What they were scared of was a recording that was picked up saying, "We live, we live." The SPR went back three times over a number of years, each time gathering more evidence. In 1980, ATV News interviewed one of the residents of Astley Close, asking her and her son about the paranormal experiences that they'd witnessed. The news reporter, Wendy Jones, claimed that when she entered the living room, it felt extremely and unnaturally cold, even though there was a good enough gas heating system. The lady of the house said that the first thing that they noticed when they moved in was how cold the place was. She said that when they would sit in the living room in the evenings, they would often hear the sound of footsteps walking down the hallway. Each time, there would be no one to be seen in the hallway. The family started to notice that objects were moving around the house, and they'd be found in places where they didn't belong. One day, they witnessed an orange lift up out of the fruit bowl, and it flew across the room, as if it had been thrown by an invisible hand. At another time, a clay pipe, which was on the kitchen table, lifted up and was thrown across the room, smashing it against the wall. Their teenage son had a keen interest in chemistry and had a chemistry set permanently set up in his bedroom. One day, the thermometers in his set suddenly rose to the top and burst as if they were extremely hot, but the room was actually freezing cold. The lady of the house was washing up in the kitchen one day when she noticed an area of the kitchen filling up with a white mist. It was spreading around the room, and she said that it suddenly went freezing cold, and that she thought it was a fog from outside coming into the house. After a few minutes, it started to clear. Not too far from Astley Close is the ancient Wirehill Woods, where, according to folklore, black magic ceremonies have taken place. A local pastor decided to investigate the hauntings. He believed that the practice of black magic was still going on in the woods, and that was the cause of the hauntings. When he visited the house where the news interview took place, he claimed that he had a strange feeling that there was something sinister in the boy's bedroom. When he entered the room, something attacked the teenager, sending him flying across the room, causing him to hit his back off the desk. The pastor also believed that the teenager had been playing with a Ouija board with his friends from school, but the boy claimed he never had. A spiritualist medium was invited to the house, who went into a trance, claiming that she was in contact with the spirit of a very old lady. She said that there were also two men present, one of them who may have been the main keeper of the farm that was once in the area. She said that the other man may have been his brother, who was a blacksmith. She picked up on the name Whitmore or Whitworth, and that there was a link with Tewkesbury. She said that the place had a strong connection to a writer. Lord Byron came to her mind. She also picked up on the letters A-D-A, which she said belonged to a girl. After looking into the parish records and a map from 1885, the news reporter found that there was a Shakespeare farm, which she said was close to Astley Close, but Woodrow Farm was actually closer. Shakespeare Farm was about a mile to the east of Astley Close. The map did show that there was a blacksmith based very near to Shakespeare Farm. In an entry from the parish records from 1851, there was a William Whittington who lived at Shakespeare Farm with his daughter Amanda. Did the medium communicate with the dead, or did she look at the same records as the news reporter? In the early 1980s, a group of young boys were playing in Wirehill Woods. They made a rope swing on one of the old trees and took it in turn to see how high they could go before jumping off. When the first boy took his turn, he jumped off the swing and landed at the bottom of a slope. He noticed someone watching him from behind the trees at the top of the slope, so he told the other boys. They made their way towards the person behind the trees. As they approached, they noticed that it was a girl, around the same age as them. She stood still, looking at the floor. One of the boys spoke to her, and she just vanished. They didn't play in the woods again. In 1991, a couple were walking their dog through the woods, which they did every Sunday morning. They let the dog off his lead so that he could exercise and run around. He was a playful dog who used to bark a lot when playing. One of the couple threw a stick for the dog to fetch it. He ran towards it, but he suddenly stopped. He wouldn't go any further. As the dog's owner got close to him, they noticed a little girl in an old-fashioned white dress. They asked her if she was okay, but she didn't respond. They both approached her cautiously, so they didn't scare her. But as they got closer, she ran away. They followed her, with the dog running towards her, but keeping his distance. As they came to a section which was thick with brambles and impossible to get through, the little girl disappeared. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. If you enjoy this channel, please subscribe and give me a thumbs up. It's very appreciated. You can find out more information on the episodes on the website ghosttales.co.uk and on the Facebook page Ghost Tales Podcast and Instagram at Ghost Tales Podcast. All music, research, writing, production, art and sound effects are all my own work.